Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning, Bahamas. Good yawning this morning. Today is Thursday, March 11th, 2021. You're tuned into Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, and you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. I've got a wonderful guest in studio with me this morning. We're going to have a very full conversation. But before I get to my guest, I got to do a little housekeeping. Let me give you all the options you can use to tune into the show this morning. You're on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM right now, and we're streaming live audio and video on GuardianTalkRadio.com. You can listen on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or on Flow Channel 612. Or you can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-4796. 422-4796. That's powered by BTC and standard text rates apply. Or you can call us at 323-6232, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4316, or 326-4259. So I want to just touch on two stories that I didn't get to touch on in yesterday's paper. The first is the search for Nicole Sobiech, the young missing woman. She's been missing for about 4 or 5 days now. And we're asking people to please be on the lookout. Please pay attention, you know, sit and think, recollect, you know, go through your memories and think maybe I've seen her somewhere. Please, let's pay attention to this case. This young lady's family is desperate to find her. Also, let us keep the two men who were in the plane crash near Acklands in our prayers. I know that the search teams are still actively looking for them. And let us encourage the search team and let us pray for a safe recovery or the safe return to their families. You know, I think these are important stories that we sort of miss with all the politics. And there's plenty of politics out there. Because my guest is here, I'm not going to touch on it. But, you know, I really want to ask, dear Prime Minister, why are you out in the sun, on the tarmac, with the vaccines for photo ops when the vaccines have very strict protocols for the quality control? There's no need for these photo ops. And secondly, why were y'all out on the tarmac on the second Wednesday of the month? The speaker has already reminded you that you got serious business to deal with in the House on the second Wednesday of the month, and that's answering the people's questions and concerns. I'd hate to think that y'all took this moment as an opportunity for a photo op and to duck out on your obligations. Surely you could have sent a team of medical officials and security officials down to safely receive and escort the vaccines to their next destination. Please don't play with the speaker. The speaker is my representative. You don't mind that me and him have things to talk about, right? Me and him can talk about the treatment of women and promoting an unsafe environment for women and other vulnerable people in the community. That's me and him. That's our business, you know? Your business is to go to the House and answer the questions. You know, and I wonder why you felt the need to not do that. Anyway, we got a lot more business to go to, including our book giveaway. Yesterday, we had a winner. Unfortunately, the winner is related to me, And I grow up in a household like my Grammy just, they raised me in a way where I can't even consider cheating. Like, I feel so guilty if I cheat. I can't go to, like, the gas is well up in your stomach and it don't even make sense anymore to do it, right? And my family raised me like that. And so I say to myself, look here, you can't give the prize to your cousin. So, dear cousin, I gonna buy you a book. And you also know, because we's family, I cheap. I can spend that money, though, because you deserve that book. So we didn't give away book number 4 yesterday. And we're going to give away book number 4 today. The rules of the competition are text in your answer. Don't call in your answer. If you call in your answer, you may give away the right answer and the competition finish. If you text in your, if you call in and you give the wrong answer, you give the other people a clue to the right answer. You don't want to help them out when you're losing. So text in your answer. I will identify the first 3 digits of the number of the winner before I leave the show, and then I will contact you off air and tell you how you can pick up your copy of The People's Constitution, A Layman's Interpretation of the Constitution of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, composed by Keisha Ellis. Are you ready for the question? So here's the question. Yesterday, we had a show on the University of the Bahamas' Literary Festival. And so the question today is book-inspired. Are we ready? Who wrote Woman Take Two? Who wrote Woman Take Two? And where was it first performed? And the clue that I can give you is, it's obviously a Bahamian, because you're only talking about, you know, Bahamians in literature today. Who wrote Woman Take Two, and where was it first performed? And this is a popular piece by a Bahamian, and it's pretty well known, but may not be well known by younger generations of Bahamians, which is why I wanted to throw it in the mix. Remember, text in your answers. Who wrote Woman Take Two, and where was it first performed? I already got one text, and I'm going to tell that person, you half right, try again. So today, my guest is Candy Gibson from FOAM. And FOAM is Family of All Murder Victims. I wanted to create a space, or take space, to provide an opportunity for this particular organization to speak about the work that it does. Because even in the midst, like we're in the midst of International Women's Month, even in the midst of International Women's Month, sometimes we forget or we don't focus on all the types of organizations that are doing work, particularly the smaller organizations and the organizations doing grassroots work. So good morning, Candy. How are you?
Before I go any further, I would like to have a moment of silence for all the females whose lives were cut short and they were not allowed to complete this course. And so let's have a moment of silence for them as we celebrate International Women's Day.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. You know, and thank you for that. Because in all of the month's celebrations so far, initiated by the Gender for Family Affairs, the Department for Gender and Family Affairs, right? The Ministry of Social Services, and the various women's organizations out there, I'm not sure if we have had an activity or an event that has created space to recognize, right, the lives of women lost to violence and various forms of violence in the Bahamas and over the last few years.
I know when we have our candlelight vigil, we normally highlight women who would have lost women who would have lost their lives to murder. And so last year we did for Nassau Village because we had Miss Alicia Sawyer and her daughter that were killed. Then we had Miss Cleo. So we have Miss Gloria, and then we had the 17-year-old little girl. We had those, and so we highlighted those with Zonta. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like we should never, ever forget that these ladies, they once lived in, you hear me?
just a little closer to the mic.
Yeah. Closer? Okay. These ladies, they are one of us. And so when we do stuff moving forward, we must never, ever forget them.
Yeah.
They're no longer here. Some of them left kids. And all of them left families. So whatever we do should be surrounded, I guess, so that these are ours. These were our sisters.
Yeah.
And so as we celebrate any International Women's Day, we must never forget them.
Absolutely. So tell us a bit about FOAM, what you do, and why you started it.
Okay, well, FOAM was birthed after the murder of my two brothers 8 months apart. Andrew was murdered in August 5th, 2011. My second brother, Kanochi, was murdered April 17, 2012. And because of that, we started FOAM. They left kids. And I don't know if persons know, but, you know, once your loved one would have been murdered and they don't have sufficient contribution in NIB, their children gets nothing. And so do bear in mind, regardless of how their parents live, these kids still need to eat.
Mm-hmm.
They still have to go to school. And so, therefore, we started FOAM, giving children grocery every month, making sure they have uniform assistance. We partnership with 6 preschools, and that includes one in Freeport that once your child is between the age of 1 and 6, one and 4 years old, mm-hmm. they take that child free of charge, full scholarship.
Wow.
Yes, in the event of their mother or father being murdered. So I'm very proud of to say that we joined with them. And so we out here, we're doing our part, but we didn't just stop there with murder victims. We open up our female shelter. And it's now Agape Housing Project because we have males live inside the home also. We have a full community center located in Nasa Village.
Okay, hold on. You have a shelter?
Yes, ma'am.
For women?
Yeah.
Well, it started off as a shelter for women.
Yes.
And it's grown to
a housing project now because we have males live there with their kids.
Can I ask you to tell us more about the shelter? Because one of the greatest needs right now, even outside of the particular space you work in, providing services for family members of murder victims, there's a tremendous need, in particular, for housing. So tell us a bit about your shelter. Don't tell us where it is.
I would never do that.
And I want people to know, right? It's a part of... Because we're going to talk about what types of cultural shifts need to take place to support the victims of violence and and the families of murder victims, right? And one of those cultural shifts is being sensitive about the information we share and how we share that information. And so I want people to know, if you know where a shelter is, you're not supposed to talk it unless you are directing an individual that needs that service to that shelter. But tell us about the shelter.
Okay, well, the shelter started September 2017, and it started because, my boyfriend had gotten killed in 2015. Mm-hmm. God rest the dead, Roberto Williams. And I went to Canada for a bit, and I stayed there for like 18 months. And when I was in Canada, I stayed 6 weeks at a shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And so my first order of business when I came home was to start a shelter.
Yeah.
And so therefore, but when I started the shelter, I made steps to, like, say, I'm going to start a shelter. Mm-hmm. It was like these two ladies came to me, one had 8 children and one had 6. They had nowhere to go. And they were at their wit's end. And so by them being at their wit's end, I was able to call someone, ask if I could use the house, and they gave me the okay. And from then, those two ladies went in that place with no light. And I should tell you, desperation, eh? They went into a home with no light. Only thing was there was water. And so we pick, and eventually was able to get the light turned back on, get some of the repairs done to the place and so forth. And I must say, I would never forget that same lady, Miss Lanisha Roll. I must remember her. She was very good. She was the town meeting. I went and I spoke to her, and she assisted me. And so I want to thank her. And so whatever person say about it, she was good to me.
Yeah.
You know, and so we started there. And then from there, we just started increasing until at one point, we had like 28 residents. And then now we're down to 18 now. So God is really being good. Like I say again, our job is to help. Our motto is making life easier for those in need and hurting amongst us.
Yeah.
And that's not Lanisha's, Minister Lanisha Roll.
Yes, Minister Roll.
Yes.
So let me ask you a question. Do you think the Ministry of Social Services is set up to provide that type of support to all organizations? Or was this, did the minister see the sort of urgent need involved and then used her discretion to support your organization?
But all I can say is favor and fair.
Yeah.
You know, once God gives you a vision, he makes provision. So I just thank her for the connection during the time.
Well, listen, so that sort of leads me to a question. that I have for you, but also that I have for my listening audience, right? Mm-hmm. It's sort of a broad question. With all the work that you do and the services you provide, right? There's a popular saying that the poor will always be with us.
Yes, I guess right? That slogan yesterday.
But I think we miss off a part, right? Like I think, you know, somebody was eating like steak and lobster, and he's like, yeah, the poor will always be with us, right? And then he started chewing and forgot the rest. But I think the rest is this. The poor will always be with us if we are always focused on wealth creation, right? Because poor and rich are relative terms, right? I think if we change our perspective, then maybe we could change that saying, right? Because there are large numbers of people and families seeking assistance and a large number of organizations providing assistance, but the number of people in need continues to grow every day. And gone are the days of the benevolent patron. You know, when you have, under the auspices of the Governor General, right? The Governor General is the patron of this organization and provides it with money and ensures that the people who run the organization or like the artists, because, you know, pianists and musicians would have a patron, and that patron would pay for them to live or to go to school or to study and pay for their needs to support the production of their art. But gone are the days of the patron, right? Where rich people just throw money out into the public, into the charitable winds. So my question is this. Do we need to shift focus from charity, volunteerism, and handouts to a commitment or to a national plan that focuses on economic reform, housing and employment reform, and educational reform, and improving state infrastructure?
I would think so, because, you know, we have the needy, then we have the greedy. Mm-hmm. I can be real. You know, we have, even when we're doing the National Food Task Force, you have people would go here, they register to go here. They'll go here, then every day, anybody at that time, give them a take in. Like, so if you think only your household's supposed to get, then so what about the household really need? How do they get if you take everything? And so I think that needs, we need to, like, be a joint effort. Whereas we now partner, don't just say by word of mouth, we're partnering with NGOs. But whereas that in black and white, we're partnering with these NGOs. So therefore, their database now, their information structure, whereas if someone come to form, okay, at the end of the day, Candy Gibson has to give an account to this, who she served, that is then cross-reference with social service or whoever. So we can see who actually double-dipping. Because this person giving out, that person giving out, that's not even an answer.
Yeah.
When in reality, you would give me food. If I need housing, I don't need food. I need housing. I feel like we're in 2021 now, and there's no governmental shelter. Yeah, there may be governmental homes, but there's no governmental shelter. And I know for a fact that no government or no country prepared for COVID-19.
Yeah.
Because this is a global crisis. But we're here now where we're seeing so many mothers with kids homeless being evicted, and then you can't blame the landlord for putting them out, because the landlord have obligations with the bank too.
Right.
You understand me? The bank ain't here, no story. They want their monies.
Yeah.
And I was talking to somebody the other day too, and they were saying, Candy, even though it's COVID-19, the people still going around giving out people letters to vacate their homes. Mm-hmm. Not just their apartments, but their homes.
You see, because I would argue if, yeah, there's no getting around it. COVID was unexpected and unprecedented, right? But if we had focused on these structural or infrastructural reforms
before
the pandemic, mm-hmm. then we would have been on better footing to deal with the pandemic. Because there's a housing crisis long before
pandemic. Before Hurricane Dorian.
Right. And I could think of several areas, right? Young people and older people transitioning from the family island to New Providence, either for school or employment, or because there's a lack of employment on the family island, right? And so, you know, if a young woman or a young man doesn't have a family structure in New Providence to sort of locate himself in, or if he doesn't get accepted into the dormitory program at UB, right, then what are they to do to find housing? First of all, it's expensive. And second of all, there's a risk of moving in or creating a living arrangement with somebody whose behavior is problematic, dangerous, or you can't control. And for young women, well, I can say for young women, there's a plethora of issues. I know a ton of young women that got married, right, to leave their parents' home. Like, that's the reason why they got married. Not necessarily because they had decided that this is the particular person I will spend my life with, but because, well, he ain't half bad. He's a kind of nice guy, and it's time for me to get out of my people's house. You know, that's one instance where young women may find themselves in unsavory housing conditions. So this thing has been happening long before the pandemic. And if the government had taken a hold or identified these issues or areas of focus, then we would have at least had systems that we could expand upon versus being in a situation where we're trying to create new systems. And so on that note, let me ask you, what are some of the services that your organization provides?
Well, Erin, I'm to be honest with you, we was basically providing every service possible, pro bono services, where we had the Coconut young guys who were arrested. We had Wayne Monroe and Bajon Ferguson.
So you facilitated access to legal representation.
Right, and Jomo Campbell, they were there, Ian Cargill. They were out there, Donna Major, they were out there performing free services for those persons who would have been arrested. So we want to say a special thanks to them. And so we were doing that. Then we were able to raise money to pay persons fines and so forth who would have been arrested to the coconut for selling coconut illegal. Then we were trying to get that business license. But even though trying to get that business license, still some stuff that we would have to go on to the government that they weren't able to get us yet. So that was like another. So we was able to speak, partner with Mr. Bethel, Kyle I. Bethel.
Yeah.
He was able to get them to get the full hand certificate. So like we were doing it piece by piece. So we were doing our part.
All right.
Then we were also giving out grocery every month. There was every week, actually every month, every day we were giving out grocery. As long as the stuff were coming in, we were giving out. We wasn't holding nothing back. We were giving out. And there was one time too, the persons at the show name now? On Gladstone Road.
The food court?
No,
or the farmer's market?
No, the show where everybody's going for the show.
Oh, the theater.
The theater, right. There was one time that they had gotten laid off and they were complaining, they were on TV saying that they didn't get any money from their job and so forth and whatever the case is. And what we did, we stood right up. We did a post. We said, anybody who works at this place, they must come for grocery. And that day we served, must be over like 200-something persons from my house alone.
Yeah.
And it's time. So we were doing our part. We were trying our best to help. Whatever came, we gave out. We were also providing housing. I had three young ladies staying with me in my personal space that time. I had a family staying in my office space. And so then we had people at the shelter. So we like were going above and beyond. We were just going, trying to help the person. We even started out filling out their NIB forms.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like doing. But at the end of the day, too, at the end of you doing all this, but at the end of the day, there's nothing to match your efforts. You're killing yourself. But then you have bills, too.
Right.
You have kids, too.
And so your organization is a non-profit organization. How do you fundraise?
Okay, well, we had partnered with the Department of Gender and Family Affairs, which is social services. We got a grant from them last year, year before last. I know we had gotten two small grants from them before.
Yeah.
So we had them, and then we had Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture. We had the hotels that would normally partnership with us. And then we have plenty of my Facebook fans and supporters that would have partnership with us. But then, you know, and then we have the Rotary Club, we have the Kiwanis. And so, but then, you know, COVID-19 came. So every night, this year, rolling very slow. Like, we haven't collected anything.
Yeah.
But then we have Christ Community Church. We have Keisha Delancey from Virgo Car Rental. We have Madeline from Nothing But Just Good Here. We have like a few other persons would consist every other month with their kind donation. But right now, like, things are very slow because the country has not even fully opened up as yet. The economy actually has not opened up as yet. So everything is coming in slow. So now I have some people that speak complaining about their bills. I say, y'all know what your bills, my pressure toll. I get mortgage and office rent. I get light bill. I get two cable bills, two phone bills, two this, and I get staff stipend. So when I hear people complain, I just put my hand on my head and say, God, you have to work it out. So it's rough. And like I say again, like, there's nothing to match your efforts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's where we're at.
Absolutely. So let me ask you a question. I'm going to throw this question out to the audience as well. Please feel free to call in. Our call-in numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. Do you think that we, the people, should dedicate a tiny percentage of taxation, existing taxation, right? Not create a new tax, but we should designate or dedicate a small percentage of monies collected from taxes to put in a pool for NGOs and small organizations to draw from, like for grants and for funding, but also to pay the staff of registered organizations.
I think so too, and I feel like it shouldn't even be no hassle. Even trying to, like, right now, like, it's hard. Like, for like, if you want a grant, you got to write in. Why should I have to write in every year or every time a grant becomes available in the country of the Bahamas when they actually see what you're doing? They see what you're about. You every day you're in the media, every day you're on Facebook. You know, they know who you are. They know, and they know who have organizations, and they know who out here jamming. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, even with that, with even doing that, I think is even hard. And still difficult trying to get a grant. Why every year I have to write it for the same thing, and you know what I'm about? That's one. Two, yes, there should be something in place that every year our organization, NGO, registered NGO, automatically gets this amount. Mm-hmm. Every year that should be automatic. Not every year you got to put your hand in, you got to put pen to write, you got to find a grant writer to write in for grants, what it is to help the people. And you are actually helping the government by helping the people, because I was singing the other day, I said, Kiana, you had three young ladies staying in your house. Okay, if they was to go to social service, social service would have given them $1,200. That's first and last one rent. Okay, you had three young ladies staying in your house, not a dollar from social services, not, okay, Ms. Gibson, you have these three young ladies in your house, okay, we're going to give you 10% off your light or 10% off your water, 10% off your cable. You get nothing. So when you hire, that's three young ladies and a child. Mm-hmm. So when you bring these people in your house, you foot in the bill. That's extra mouths. You got to feed. That's right. Extra groceries. That's extra water. You understand me?
And there should be a system in place where if you volunteer to take people into your home, right, mm-hmm. First of all, you're part of a registered network.
Right.
And so state inspectors could come in and take a look at the home, especially if you're receiving children into your home, right?
Right, point
exactly. We come in and we do an inspection if you want to participate in the program, right? And then you get a stipend, like you say, concessions on light bills.
Something.
Or economic support. Because even you have an increase in cost and maintenance for your structure if you invite more people into it, right? And maybe like a structural reform, right? So my small NGO can partner with Civil Society Bahamas, right, which is a bigger NGO, like an umbrella NGO. And because I participate with Civil Society Bahamas, right, Civil Society Bahamas should be partnering with the government, with social services, to provide grant writers, people to help you write grants. And they should provide access to accountants to help make sure that your accounting for the purposes of the grant are in order. As opposed to every single small organization trying to figure out how to do it on your own.
Where do we go from here? What do we do now? Can you help with this? Can you help with that? You shouldn't be out here jamming because you're passionate and still frustrated because you have to put book and you have to put pen to paper to write in for a grant. That does not compute.
Right. And I think you should have to make an application for the grant, yeah, but it shouldn't be as rigorous.
No,
right?
No, it shouldn't be.
And I can tell you, at higher levels of advocacy, right, at regional advocacy and global advocacy, if you want a grant from the EU, the European Union, you have to hire a professional team just to manage and the grant process to ensure that all of your documentation is properly put together. Not just that you have the correct information, but if you don't put the document together properly, if you don't put the logo in the right place, your application can be and may be rejected, right? And it's just too much work for a small, small organization.
It is, very much.
But I tell you what, let's go to a break. Mm-hmm. Arlington, let's roll to a break. And when we come back, we're going to shift gears on the questions. We're going to talk a bit about the culture involved in the work that you do and in the communities that you work with. We'll be Thomas, you're listening to 96.9 FM, and you're On the Clock with Erin Green. You'll be back after this break.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere, on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Meet Jackie. Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning, Bahamas. Welcome back to 96.9 FM, Guardian Talk Radio. You're on the clock with Erin Green, and my guest today is Candy Gibson from FOAM, Families of All Murdered Victims. We're talking about the work that they do, and now we're going to sort of shift gears and delve a bit into the sort of the cultures, first of all, what are the cultural shifts that need to take place to support the work that you do? In particular, your focus on helping families heal after these traumatic events.
I would say, I'm not knocking anybody for their stand. I would say in the aftermath, first of all, I believe in prevention. Don't mind me going to families and victims after a loved one would have been killed. I don't like doing that because that is final.
Yeah.
Once somebody drop, that's it. You know, nobody wins. But I would want to be more wonderful. Person to be more proactive at what's going on in our country. I mean, because when persons get killed, I don't know if it's a botched robbery or something like that, or, you know, or just like probably a drive-by. So even with a drive-by, you'd already hear, oh, so-and-so and see so-and-so. You'd already hear, like, the little steps on the street before so-and-so get targeted. And if we could hear it, other persons could hear, those in high authority could hear it also. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, we ask the person to be more proactive. When we get this information, let's try to reach these families. One. Two, we'd want, when a loved one gets killed, I feel like social services, there should be a van. I know a van coming around to deal with families, like a van with social service rep inside the van. Not just police officer, but social service rep, like how my angel deals with families about murder victims, include me in that van. And so we deal with the children right away.
All right. So watch this. You know, in all of the protests in the U.S. with Black Lives Matter and they're talking about defund the police, right? Mm-hmm. And people really feel, because on the face of it, it sounds like get rid of the police.
Right.
But that's not what they're saying. What they're saying is take away some of the jobs that police currently do and give them to the people that should be doing them.
Yes.
Right. And that's what you're talking about.
Right. You know, and so on. Therefore, like, we want even to, like, personally, you know, to be mindful of what they say. Because I said, it was a situation the other day. This lady went in, her son was killed. And one of the leading officers was like, oh, don't come in up with your good son here because he had to do something because he's dead now, right? Someone kill him. And I was like,
what?
Like, that's unprofessionalism. Even that's how you feel. You don't tell people families like that. You have to be mindful of what you say when people going through. The simplest things that cause someone tick or trip off, you know? And so be mindful of your choice of words. I'm not saying that, like my brother Andrew, the first one who got killed, he was disgusting. I ain't gonna lie. Andrew was disgusting. I ain't gonna lie. I had childhood Andrew. I just get so tired of Andrew, you know? But other than that, that's still my brother. I can't choose who God gave me for a brother.
Yeah.
But then kind of old, just nothing like Andrew. You know, so when Andrew murder hurt me, and that hurt me, I still hurt by that. But then Khan Oji murder hurt me even worse because Khan Oji was nothing like Anthro. And so we just asked, like, during person's grieving, be mindful what you say to families.
Absolutely. And I spent all night trying to get the proper wording of this saying that Bahamians love to say, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's, if not with the crows you were found, you would be home safe and sound.
Right.
And that's sort of our typical response. Not just to these acts, right? Like you said, the police officers say, don't come here with my good son,
yeah,
right? Because if he was a good boy, he wouldn't be dead. But that negates all kinds of things.
Right, and that's not necessary. So that person was a bad person.
Right. Right? They may have been, it may have been
innocent, accidental. Could be drive-by shooting, could have been wrong person, wrong target. And sometimes, as you can see, and I am a very strong advocate of this, when persons get arrested, please be mindful of sharing their pictures on social media, because if it's not, come to find out if it's not that person, you put that, you made that person a target.
Right.
And so I'm still advocating for a certificate of good standing from the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Like the other day, the guy in Freeport, he was arrested for punch murder. His picture went out. His address where his family live in Elizabeth Estate went out. Okay, after it was there, he was released. It was not him. He was supposed to get some scholarship with a coach and so forth. Not a, you know, Body Base won't be affiliated with him, as far as they're concerned. His name, his picture was associated with somebody murder.
Right.
So where does that leave the young man and his family now?
And so we have a structural issue where the police do not have a standard procedure for letting the public know why somebody is, why we're seeking them, right? Why we want to question them. We don't let them know why they have been released, right? And so I saw a similar instance where I encouraged the media personality that posted the image to put on it no longer a suspect, mm-hmm. right? But then it needed something even more than that. What it really needed to be was, this is the wrong person entirely, right? Because no longer a suspect suggested there was a reason why.
He was a suspect, or he or she was a suspect. And right. So we now have to, I would say, educate the public, because person of interest and assisting the police in their investigation is two different. I could be a person because it means I know I might have information that I know. Assisting means, I guess what, I have information I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So person means it's you. Like they already say it's you and it's you. And assisting is I'm giving you information. We have to now educate the police. Educate the community public. Of what their right. terms are.
And it don't matter, because from I read a story and I read the story and it says so-and-so is assisting with investigations.
I think it's them.
I get a strong sense, the way the story is written and the details that are given, that's them,
yeah.
right? And so a clear explanation needs to be given post to say why it's not them, right? And I want to get back into sort of the cultural shifts, like what we as a people have to do. But I got a caller on the line. Arlington, they ready? Caller, you're on the clock.
A pleasant good morning, Ms. Green.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
All right, I'll tell your fellow candidates.
Hi.
You know who this is?
This, yeah, that's my Sparky.
Very good, buddy.
What's up, my love?
I haven't seen you. Well, I've seen pictures of you. I haven't seen you for a long time. Miss Green is one of my old co-workers from the then Batalco.
Yes.
Okay.
Not BTC. We was there before. BTC, we was Batalco Raiders. A lot of good days, a lot of good times.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still in the fight there, Candace. Yes. Like, the only thing I can say to you is, I say, keep it up.
Thank
you,
Sparky.
You've gone, personally, I know you've gone through a lot.
Hell and back.
I can't tell. I can't even say hell. You've gone past hell. I think you were around the corner from hell, the other corner. And then you come back again. But anyway, you know, I keep up your fight, ma'am. Miss Green, this lady has been in it for a long time. I've seen her going through some suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Up and down, round and round. Sometimes you want the candies to be so close to somebody's face when they have, but you want to see chain neck.
No, I don't say that, man.
Keep up the fight. No, I can speak. Keep it up the fight.
That's right, because
not
speak
you
life.
Being not you being neck. Keep it up the fight is what I speak it on you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, name
keep it
Jesus.
Up. I wish a lot of people join you. You know, I'm similar to you in a way. I've had my fights, too.
Yeah.
I have been up and down, walking up and down Bay Street protesting, doing this, all the radio talk shows, even get reprimanded for calling talk shows. You remember them days?
Yeah.
And the boss man used to call me and say, stay off that radio. Now
well,
I hear.
Technically, because you was a semi-government worker. Sparky.
Not only that, but now I hear the bosses them be on the radio now.
Well, they're trying to promote a project and their products.
They leave their job and come sit on the radio.
Yeah.
And Candice can tell you, most of the time, I was on my lunch hour when I was making the calls. I wasn't on that time. I was on my time. But have
I hear
a good
you,
day.
Sparky.
Have a good day and keep it fight, Candy.
Thank
keep
you.
It up.
Thank you.
You know, I think it's important for us to recognize how many people feel like they are not a part of the culture, right? And how many people feel like they are on the outside, right, of the culture. and how it makes people feel. Like Sparky said, he's been protesting and agitating about issues for decades. And how does it feel when you focused on something you think is important and you feel like society is not paying attention to it? And what type of culture that creates? I know for young people, they give up very quickly, try to be a part of the whole, and they create their own culture when they make no headway.
Well, I like it isn't be it don't be easy, mm-hmm. because sometimes the fight you trying to fight against, you actually I'm getting caught up in that fight, and so then the arrows try to point to you to try to discredit you. But mm-hmm. then guess that I tell people, you know who God sent, you know who just went. And I know God sent me. And so with that being said, I can't give up.
Mm-hmm.
Someone have to be in the wilderness crying out, and that person in the wilderness is me.
Right.
So don't care how weary I get. And some days I do, it's depressing. But I just have to continue pressing.
And, you know, I think of it like this. There are many different voices that are needed to do this work. And we shouldn't just focus on one set of voices. We have to focus on all the voices. Every voice is valuable in doing this work. And so let's get back to those cultural shifts, right? Because I say this thing about if with the crows you were not found, you would be home safe and sound. This is an attitude that lots of Bahamians have. And it sort of negates the realities of conflict and conflict resolution. Sometimes you get caught up in a conflict and you have no idea why you're there. And there's nothing you could do to get away with it. But as soon as people see it, they blame you equally with the aggressors, right? They don't give any space to interrogate what really happened. And then there's another culture that is really hurting us. And this is like voyeur culture, right? Where other people's lives become entertainment or fodder for our entertainment.
Yeah, we rejoice on that downfall. And it's just so sad. Social media is now the norm for rejoice on people's downfall. You want to get news out there quick, put on social media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I see people come on Facebook and they'll be crying. They get put out, they get evicted, and they have 3 and 4 children. First thing, you don't want to tell you have all them children. Oh, where the baby daddy is. That's not the issue. The mm-hmm. person need help now. Let's try build them, but we're not building nobody. We rather just pull them down and gloat in their downfall, and that can't be right. That is not right.
Right, and that's why I think that shift from charity focus to reform focus is so important, because it's easy to give somebody a package, right?
And that's easy.
When you give them a package, you could keep them in that package with that label where you just down and out, you just need help. But when we focus on reforms and enhancing the systems people need to survive, then we have to see people as real people that have
issues
and have rights, mm-hmm. Have issues and have rights. Like they have a right to have these issues dealt with, right? They have a right to access to services to help them deal with conflict, deal with issues, and to find resolution. These are all important things. So, the question was, what can be done to help families heal? And so for me,
shifting the culture, kind word, communication is a big help too.
Right.
Because when families, loved ones get killed, if they could hear more from those in high authority and not the streets, I think that's a big help.
Right.
Because when the authorities ain't speaking to us, and then we just listen to what the streets say, that right there is an issue.
Yeah. So I think we got a caller. My bad. It's okay. So I got a question. I got a text here that responds to one of the questions earlier, and it says, Aaron, I feel this is an excellent idea to implement a pool via taxation percentage to assist FOAM and other organizations like it that are supplying a very necessary service. I applaud them wholeheartedly and will offer my assistance monetarily whenever possible. Well, look here, text me back and let me know if I can share your contact with Ms. Gibson, because I'm sure she will be glad to receive it. I've got another text here. The police initially said a guy was wanted for rape, and all they said was he is no longer a suspect. This is horrible because as a man, all someone has to do is whisper rape and your name at the two ends of the same sentence and you're branded as a rapist forever. They need to stop saying what they wanted for.
I that's what I'm trying to say. Like, you know, you are the police. You can't be the police and a reporter. Let's be the police, the investigator. Let the reporter do their job. And so we need to stop doing that. Like, until we fully sure that this is the... And even when somebody is hard before the court,
yeah,
that still means that's the person. Because innocent persons get locked up. I was locked up for 5 days. 5 days, something I know nothing of.
Yeah.
And that's still... almost 6 years later, that's still with me.
Yeah, and I've had family members who have been incarcerated as well, and for a number of years. Okay, so Candy, we have someone who is asking for your contact information and the location of your office so they can donate stuff. But if that location is sensitive...
No, that location is okay.
All right, cool.
The shelter is sensitive.
Okay. Yeah, it's the shelter that's sensitive.
My number is 424-8953. It's my cell number, and our office is located number 68, Alexander Boulevard, Nassau Village.
Absolutely.
So it's 424-8953.
And so let me ask you a quick question. How important is it to have your office located in, you know, one of the communities that you serve?
It's very important. I love Nassau. I'm not from Nassau Village, but mm-hmm. I love Nassau Village. And so it's very important. Actually, I don't even see myself even being in Nassau Village. If it's up to me, I would want to have a phone in every community. I would want to have a phone on the family yard, especially like in Freeport and Abaco, you know, where the murders are happening, Lutra, I'd want foam be branded. Just because I have Urban Renewal, I'd want foam be branded also.
All right. Do you think foam can partner? Like, we could create a formal partnership with foam and the Urban Renewal Program.
I could partner with anybody. Teamwork makes the dream work.
I hope you all hear that.
Teamwork makes the dream work. And just, I'm not an island by myself.
Right, and that's why...
One man is not an island.
That's why I wanted to get you on the show, right? Because small organizations don't have the money to advertise and put ads in the paper and on social media to ask for help.
Right.
Right? But and most people think, well, if they ain't asking for help, they must say don't need it. Or, you know, they don't want our help.
Right.
But many times these people are just so busy doing the actual work, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why it's important for organizations like Civil Society Bahamas, which is an umbrella organization, right, that you're a member of, because they should be providing some of the services that fill that gap, like linking you to potential funders and donors, advertising about services and needs, and that sort of thing.
And even in that era, like, you know, like I saw when the Prime Minister, during his COVID, when we were in the Rapid Bahamas, feeding the person during this COVID-19, when he would say, he already called up basically who the organization he dealt. He certified these organizations. So if the people see the Prime Minister only recognizing these, said, you didn't even recognize you.
Right.
And that's why I say, when I was in Canada have a social service. Their social service is called Ontario Works, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When you go to Ontario Works, they have a listing of NGOs who they work with. So they give you a listing of NGOs, and you know you could go to these places. But over here, they give you lists of the high-end NGOs, or they would refer to the high-end NGOs. When the high-end NGOs close, it's the grassroots NGOs like mine and others who still open, who on the ground, who could do things 24 hours.
Right, and many times those higher-end organizations are referring their clients to you anyway.
You understand me? And I must say, and then, too, like, we have a situation where we have child abuse come to us. We have molestation come to us. We have the call of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And I must say, I had a situation happen last year, and I must commend the fine officers at CDU. They were very effective. When I say effective, I went there with the situation, and, like, that was good.
They treated it with the urgency required.
The amount of times I leave out the office, it was done. Then I went to have a situation with... that was the Grove Police Station.
Mm-hmm.
The sergeant, they're very effective too. Like, you know, you have some good officers. And then there was another day too. I was looking for this family who loved when I got murdered and I go on a one-way street. And the good officer, he ain't give me a ticket.
Right. Because he know you was focused on finding somebody and not the road controls. Yeah.
So, you know, there are some good members of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, and a lot of them made them cool bit, you know. So I want to big them up too. I want to really say a special... Special big up to the hardworking members of the Royal Bahamas Police Force, you know, only in bad.
Right, and it has to be, our work has to be about growing our relationship with the police and growing and enhancing the police themselves.
And the work also has to be about the police growing with the community, because guess what, we work hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
They need us, so we need them. When they take off their uniform, they go into our food store, they come in our community, so we need them and they need us. We's one.
Yeah, we's family.
Thank you, we's one. Thank you very much, we's one.
Yeah.
So don't mind that stripe or that khaki fool you, we's one.
Yeah.
It was at least one.
So look here. I got to get to the answers for the question for the giveaway.
Okay.
And I got to read some text as we end the show, right?
Okay.
So I'm going to read these texts and I'm going to let you have the last word. So the answer for the question, who wrote Woman Take Two and where it was first performed? The question, who wrote Woman Take Two and where it was first performed? The answer is... Mrs. Telsine Turner wrote Woman Take Two, and it was first performed at the Dundas Center for the Performing Arts. And it was first performed in 1979. And the first person with the correct answer was, or sorry, your text number begins with 242-431. I will contact you after the show and tell you how you can pick up your book. Now look here, I got one last book to give away. And I had a particular question about these rules of the house that Renwood Wells, the minister Renwood Wells, and the speaker of the house, Halston Moultrie, keep referencing. But I can't find that rule 39, 1 and 2. Anywhere. So I can spend all of tonight researching that answer, well, researching the documents I have available to me to see if I could find the answer. But tune in, because we're going to have the last book giveaway tomorrow. I'd like to thank all the people who gave answers. Some people thought it was Patty McCollis Glinton. Some people gave me her full last name, Telsine Turner Roll. I think she was only Turner when she wrote the play. There were some really great answers here. And Candy, we have a text here. A texter said, do you realize the yearly application is focused on your budget statement and getting a sense of how much money you're going to need and how much money you actually spend.
I realize all that. I
but it's still too strenuous.
I'm just saying.
For small organizations.
Thank you.
And we have enough accountants and technical support available to support the entire NGO community.
My point exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Absolutely. So I want to give you the last word for today's show.
My last word was tell the people, stop depending on the government for everything. We have to be the change we want to see. Come on. You have a bag of rice. You down there would have a can of tuna. You down there would have a bag of peas or corned beef. Let's be the change we want to see. Let's empower people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start empowering each other, you know. So just stop just pulling down each other. If you could help yourself, if you can't help, don't say a word. Mm-hmm. A kind word turns away wrath. And then two, support form. We are here for the poor people.
Absolutely. Support phone. Can you give us your cell number?
My cell is 424-8953. That's 424-8953.
And the location of the office for people?
Number 68 Alexander Boulevard, Nassau Village.
So if you want a volunteer technical and administrative skills or support services, if you want to link FOAM and other small organizations to organizations that are doing that type of work, and given that type of service, if you want to make a donation, if you want to give them a good idea, suggest a model, if you want to take them some books, feel free to contact them. They are open to your support and your donations.
Yes, very much. Thank you in advance. God bless.
Listen, thank you so much for joining me today, Candy, for International Women's Month and a focus not just on women's organizations, but what women are doing in the community and why we need them so much. Thank you so much. Bombers, thank you for joining me today. You've been On the Clock with Erin Green. I think Lee Van Miller is next with Unleash. It's going to be a great day, Bahamas. Enjoy it. Most of all, stay tuned to 96.9 FM.